This is the B-side of the lecture for June 1995. The title of the lecture is The Cure for Church Authority. In New Testament times, there was no central government for the whole of the Christian ecclesia. This is made quite evident in the Bible itself. And in actual fact, though there was a trend toward that end, and some people wanted a central government, it seems like, particularly that which would stem from Jerusalem, or perhaps from Antioch, and later on from Rome, yet there was in the New Testament clear teaching that that was not to be done. The Apostle Paul was the one who advocated independence the most. And in actual fact, some of his writings were written in response to people who were trying to rule others in an autocratic way, and Paul would have none of it. The whole book of Galatians, when you really read it, is actually written in response to people who were trying to advocate an authority over the Gentile Galatians that the Apostle Paul said they should not subject themselves to. He had to write those six chapters that we have in our King James Version today in response to these men coming from Jerusalem who were trying to tell the Gentiles, the Galatians, what they should do and what they should not do. And they were coming from what they considered to be a headquarters. And indeed, as far as Jews were concerned, Jerusalem was the headquarters. We find that all Jews looked to Jerusalem, even Christian Jews did. And when the Christian faith finally began to flourish, and it was established and then flourished, they looked upon James as the head of the Jerusalem church, ecclesia, and as a result of that, many people then began to look upon him as being the chief a person to make all decisions regarding the Jewish believers. And in actual fact, that is the way most of them looked at it. We find then that people began to leave Jerusalem and go out to other areas. And when they would go into the Gentile world in particular, and because the Gentiles had never been used to Judaism as the Jews had been, now they were introduced to Christ and the New Testament teachings, and it had the flavor of Judaism to a certain extent to it, because after all, Christianity was based upon the fulfillment of all the prophecies in the Jewish scriptures, called the Holy Scriptures, those Holy Scriptures that Timothy was trained in from a child. So the basis of Christianity was the Old Testament. The Old Testament was in the hands of the Jews. The Old Testament was deposited in the temple itself in Jerusalem. So you can see how it was conceived proper, even in New Testament times, to show some kind of a headquarters coming from Jerusalem. And there are people today who feel that we ought to have some kind of a headquarters, if not in Jerusalem, somewhere. And Jerusalem seems to be the one that most people want, unless they are going to Rome or someplace like that. But when we read what the Apostle Paul had to endure, and that's the only word that I can use, in relationship to those coming from a central headquarters in Judea, what he had to endure, it is really pitiful. The things that we find happening back there that the Apostle Paul finally had to straighten out. Now, he straightened them out for the people back at that time. But I hope you and I can be straightened out in this age and understand what the Apostle Paul went through and the others, that he was standing up for the liberty in Christ of the people. And he was showing clearly that there was no central government coming out of Jerusalem, especially for the Gentiles. And he made that abundantly clear. Now, when you read the book of Galatians, you know, he starts out very abruptly in the book of Galatians. And I mean without an introduction of any kind, like a kind introduction that he had in the book of Romans, or in the two epistles to the Corinthians, or in other epistles. He just comes in very bluntly when he's writing the Galatians, because a major problem had evolved, and that problem was one of authority. Who was it to have authority over the Galatian Gentiles? And the Apostle Paul became very angry, because many of the Galatians were now beginning to look to Jerusalem and to other Jewish areas as being important. And the Apostle Paul had to come in very strongly to show that he himself was not subject to the apostles in Jerusalem, believe it or not. That is one of the main reasons he wrote the book of Galatians. He was not subject to central government coming from Jerusalem. if you will understand that as the basic theme of Galatians, and you can understand it if you will read it, starting with the first chapter, you will begin to comprehend what Paul was coming up against. He was coming up against church authority from the top down. That's exactly what he was doing, because he saw it had great dangers to it. And indeed it did. The Holy Spirit can work in local assemblies far better than it can in international organizations that are supposed to be the body of Christ, you know, governed from the top down. We find in all of Paul's illustrations, he says that we are the ecclesia, and the next up is the head, who is Christ alone, and then the Father. And that there is only one mediator between all men and God the Father, and that is Christ himself. And there are no men or women standing in the way, nor are there angels standing in the way. We have a direct relationship to the Father through Christ. Yes, the book of Galatians actually was written because there was a trend starting about the year 45 A.D. For Jerusalem to become the headquarters of the whole of the Christian faith, including the Gentiles. Now, the Apostle Paul was picked by God to go to the Gentiles. And in this epistle to the Galatians here, he gives the opinion of the apostles in Jerusalem that he and Barnabas were indeed commissioned by God to go to the Gentiles. By the way, in that statement in chapter 2, which I will read in just a few moments, he didn't say, please give me permission and Barnabas to do this. It says in there that it was seen by the top apostles in Jerusalem that Paul and Barnabas had been given the commission by God the Father in Christ to go to the Gentiles, and they were nothing more than confirming it. So the Apostle Paul starts out very abruptly here in the book of Galatians, and it's all on this argument, are we going to have a central headquarters, and is it going to be in Jerusalem? And let me tell you, there were lots of people at that time in the first century, in the middle of the first century, who felt that Jerusalem should be the number one authority, and that from there would emanate all of the dictums, all of the doctrines, all of the means of worship, the types of worship and things like that, all of salaries being paid and everything of that nature from a central headquarters in Jerusalem. And it had an attractiveness to it because they said, is not the kingdom of God headed by a king? And is not the king Christ? And is not Jerusalem to be the headquarters in the future? You see, they had all of these arguments. Well, the Apostle Paul had to come out real strong, very strongly, and to show clearly and plainly that no central government was in operation as far as he was concerned, and that the Holy Spirit made it abundantly clear that that wasn't the case. Look at chapter 1 right here of Galatians, and verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Now, he starts out by saying he is an apostle, but I want you to notice the very next words. The very next words. He doesn't have a nice introduction here like, grace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, which is a nice salutation. Oh, no. He comes in strong. He comes in to hit the point, the nail right on the head, and to make his point clear right at the very beginning. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by or through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now there you are. There is who ordained the Apostle Paul. Paul was not ordained by men. It makes no difference if the men were very influential. It makes no difference if the men were very righteous. It makes no difference if the men were apostles, if they were the highest apostles. It makes no difference who they were. The Apostle Paul starts out by saying, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the ecclesias of Galatia. Now he starts in, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. But he wanted to set the tone right at the first of who he was and where he got his apostleship. And he didn't have to go to Jerusalem to obtain it. See the point? In fact, he says here, I marvel, in verse 6, that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, another teaching, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, Now, we want to find out who these people are in just a moment. Well, it all has to do with church authority, that is, ecclesiastical authority. But though we, or an angel from heaven, now here's the Apostle Paul getting about as high as he can. He says, even if we ourselves, or if Michael or Gabriel, now that's pretty high angels, aren't they? Or who, by the way, taught Daniel back in the Old Testament, he says it makes no difference. He says, if even an angel from heaven, or we, preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. It says accursed here. It means to be cut off. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any gospel, he says it a second time here, for emphasis' sake, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren. Now here's where he starts in, with his ordination, with his commission, with his credentials. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I got it, he says, from no man. Now let me just go on to show what he means here, because he states it himself in just a moment. He didn't get it from James the apostle. He didn't get it from Peter the apostle. He didn't get it from John the apostle. Now is there anything wrong with Peter, James, and John? No. But the apostle Paul didn't get his gospel from any man. He got it directly, he says, from Jesus Christ, who in turn got it from God the Father. In other words, Paul's commission did not go through any man on earth. It wasn't central government giving him this commission. Now, I have been ordained by a church, but I'll tell you, the church I was ordained some 30 years or 35 years ago now had a headquarters in Pasadena, California. So in one way, though I was ordained on January 2nd, in 1958, I believe it was, in London, England, and I was ordained by one of the men who was in charge there at the time. Yet my ordination came through a higher authority, which was in Pasadena, California, who claimed to have a higher authority in heaven named Jesus Christ. But the authority, you see, came from headquarters down. Have you ever heard of anything like that before? Well, of course you have. You know, the Apostle Paul is just going counter to that, absolutely counter to it. He said, I didn't get my commission from any man, I don't care who he is. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's who gave it to him. For you have heard of my behavior or conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the ecclesia of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, that's how far his commission went back, but he didn't know of it, of course, until on the road to Damascus. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, immediately conferred not I with flesh and blood. He means I didn't go to any man. I didn't go up to headquarters somewhere and try to get, you know, their approbation. He said I did not. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them. Now that would be just like someone in a Roman Catholic country, in a strong Roman Catholic country, like in Ireland, for example, all of a sudden having this man is going to be picked by God, let's say. Now, this is a hypothetical expression. But, you know, he would have to tell the people in Southern Ireland who are mostly Roman Catholic, 95%. It's like saying to them, I didn't go to Rome at all to get my commission. I didn't go to the Pope. I didn't go to any bishop, archbishop, or anybody else. I got my teaching directly, he says, from Jesus Christ. That's what he says. I went through no headquarters. There wasn't any. My commission doesn't come from man, he says, flesh and blood. It doesn't come through man. It comes directly from Jesus Christ. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. Now, James the Apostle was the same thing. Peter and John was the same thing. But Paul is saying here, I didn't have to go through those men at Jerusalem. In fact, he went on to say, I did not go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, But I went into Arabia and returned unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. He didn't even go to the top man at the time, who was James. He went to Peter. He stayed with Peter 15 days. But this was 3 years after he had been called by God. He didn't think it was necessary to have to go to Rome, as we would say it today, or name any other centralized hierarchical government that you can think of. Why, my, he didn't do anything of the kind. He is trying to show his authority here, and that it is separate from the apostles that were in Jerusalem. In fact, the apostle Paul, later on, when he was even called to go to the Galatians, it says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for this job." And they didn't have to get authority from Jerusalem for that. The Holy Spirit just made up the mind right there, under Christ Jesus, of course, for the Apostle Paul to do this job along with Barnabas, and they went ahead and did it. Throughout the scripture, you will find that the Apostle Paul had a separate ministry all together, and it wasn't headquarters at Jerusalem he had to go to. Now, he went to Jerusalem on occasion to learn things from the apostles and also to teach them and to fellowship with them, and we're going to see that in a moment. But he didn't go there to get their approval. That's the point that you have to understand Paul is making. He did not have to get there his doctrines from them or approved of by them. Going on, it says, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. That's a long time. If there was a headquarters there that Paul was supposed to be subjecting himself to. But he went up and saw Peter, abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. He finally saw him. That is, apparently after the 15 days. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward I came into the regions of Syria up north, in Cilicia, Cilicia, that's over in Asia Minor, and I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, or the assemblies there, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he who persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now he goes on, he's not through with the story yet. Chapter 2, just go right on here. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. My goodness, after 17 years, he goes to Jerusalem twice. Now, he may have been there at other times, but he means twice to see the apostles. He didn't go up to see them to get his orders. In 17 long years, except twice, he went up there, he said, to see them. And he went up with Barnabas. He took Titus with me, he says also. I went up by revelation. He wouldn't have gone otherwise. In other words, Jesus Christ gave him a revelation saying, I want you to get up to Jerusalem, and he decided to go. And I communicated unto them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. He didn't say, I communicated unto them the gospel you gave me. He said, I'm communicating to them what gospel Christ gave me to teach, and I don't have to get your approval for it. It goes on to say, but privately to them which were of reputation. Now that's the three apostles in charge of Jerusalem, James, Peter, and John. Now he went up to them privately, lest by any mean I should run or had run in vain. Now some people say in vain. That word in vain there, which means it would have been an empty thing if he had not have gone to the top apostles. And they say to get permission to do these things. That's not what he says. He was sent up there by a revelation to communicate to them the truth of the gospel he was teaching amongst the Gentiles, which he got not from Jerusalem. He got from no man. He got directly from Christ and the Father. And he is saying that if I had not have gone up there and taught them, then my journey to Jerusalem would have been in vain. You see, that's all he means. It would have been useless. But he went up there for a purpose. And it was effectively consummated because he told the apostles the gospel he was teaching the Gentiles. And the top apostles sat right down there from Jerusalem and listened to him. And they were amazed at some of the things he was teaching. And they never heard of him before in many cases. That's why he went up there to tell them what he was doing. He was completely and utterly independent of the apostles from Jerusalem. Get the point? Now that's very important to understand. Then he goes on, verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that might to bring us back into bondage, or bring us unto bondage. To whom are these false brethren? He says, I gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, that is, in authority, whoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. My goodness, Apostle Paul is talking about these people at Jerusalem who are top in authority, and he comes right out and says, it makes no difference to me. I am telling the truth. My authority comes from Christ Jesus and God the Father himself, and I don't have to answer to these men. That's what he's saying, and you read it very carefully. That's exactly it. But contrarywise, in verse 7, when they, that is the top authority, saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, by whom? By Christ. Not by them, by Christ. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, and who gave Peter that? Not Paul, but Christ did. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles, or the nations. And when James, Cephas, that's the Aramaic name for Peter, and John, the three top apostles, who seemed to be the pillars, you see, the pillars means the top men there, they were the top apostles, when they perceived the grace that was given unto me, by whom? Them? No, by God and Christ. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles, and they should go to the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was always forward to do. Then he goes on with an illustration here of how he even had to counter some who came from James on one occasion up in Antioch when Peter was up there. And even Peter and Barnabas were led away by the dissimulation, as he calls it, when some were coming from James and they saw Peter eating with the Gentiles. And Peter then withdrew because he thought James would be mad at him. The Apostle Paul came back and rebuked Peter openly for living like the Gentiles, you know, here, and which was perfectly proper for him to do. But when he heard that the ones coming from headquarters were saying these things, he withdrew, and the Apostle Paul had to rebuke him in front of everybody else. And he gives that illustration here. No doubt that was very difficult for Paul to have to do to one of the top apostles, Peter. But he saw that the truth had to come first, you see. He's giving these illustrations to show that he had a separate ministry and apostleship altogether different than those down in Jerusalem. Now the ones in Jerusalem heard the Apostle Paul, and they knew that he had this commission from Christ, and they gave him the right hand of fellowship. In other words, they were all a part of one ecclesia overall. That's quite true. But it was the Apostle Paul who had charge of the Gentiles, and particular Gentiles. Now, the Apostle Paul was given an area of the world to go to. And you know, when he went to that area of the world, it says that he never departed from it. It must be that when he was at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, and this epistle of the Galatians here, which was a part of that one council as well, it must be that they discussed what to do for getting out the gospel to the world. And the Apostle Paul made it clear that the right hand of fellowship was given to him and Barnabas, that they should go to the Gentiles. But you know, when it came down to was particular Gentiles. We find that the Apostle Paul never went to Egypt, did he, as far as we have any record? No. He never went to Babylon or areas like that, or to India. He didn't go way up into the steppes of Russia, as we call it today, no. But he did go to Antioch, and from there, he went to Asia Minor. From Asia Minor, he finally went to Greece. From Greece, he finally went to Rome. From Rome, he went to Spain. Now, all of the northern area, shall we say, of the Mediterranean region, and there is some evidence that he had some contact with the British Isles. Not that he went to the British Isles, but that there were people from the British Isles who met him in Rome. and that would include also Gaul, which we call France today, and southern Germany, up to the Rhine River and areas like that. We find him also in the area of what we call Bosnia and Herzegovina, where the war, the civil war, is going on at the present time here in 1995. He had authority in that region. But wherever the Apostle Paul went, and he wrote these epistles, you know, to the Romans, to the Corinthians in Greece, to the Galatians in Central Asia Minor, to the Ephesians, that's Western Asia Minor, to the Philippians, that's Northern Greece or in Macedonia, and also to the Colossians in Western Asia Minor, and then we find that the Thessalonians were Macedonia, Northern Greece, and so forth. Wherever he went to this area that was consigned to him, and he taught Gentiles. It's true that he would go into the synagogue of the Jews and talk to them first and tell them about Christ. But you know, once he did that, once he talked to the Jews, and in his commission, if you'll look at it in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, it was that he was to teach the Gentiles, all right, but he was also to teach the Israelites. But as far as his authority or his commission was concerned, that was to the Gentiles and not to the Jews. We find that clearly put here in the book of Galatians. And the Apostle Paul always maintained that. He was the one to go to the Gentiles. In the areas which he went, like for example Asia Minor, there were many Jews. In Greece there were many Jews. In Macedonia there were many Jews. There were quite a number of Jews in Rome. And we know from history that there were quite a number of Jews in the southern part of Spain and throughout that area. The Apostle Paul did not just avoid the Jews, we know that. But his commission was not to go to the Jews, per se. Yes, if they came to him, he would teach them. But as soon as he would teach them, he would tell them that the apostles in Jerusalem are the ones that you should submit your disputes to if you have difficulties and things of that nature. I am the apostle to the Gentiles, and he stayed within his authority. Do you know that John the apostle, one of the three pillars that are mentioned here, that as far as we have any record is concerned, he always maintained that jurisdictional difference between Jews on the one hand for James, Peter, and John, and the Gentiles for Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and the others. We have that really in one of the small little epistles of John, in which he makes a big point here that he says that in the area that he was to go to, which was even in a region that the apparently so anyway from history in Western Asia Minor, where the Apostle Paul actually had his ministry to Gentiles, John had his ministry to Jews. And he actually says here in this small epistle here, 3 John, that there was, if you'll read the whole epistle, it's really quite interesting here because it talks about a journey being taken by some brethren under the authority of John, because he was an old elder man at the time, to go around to the various ecclesias and teach. And he says in this here that wherever they went, they were to take monies and support on their journey, as it was normal with most of them at the time. But it goes on to say that in verse 5, beloved, that's 3 John, verse 5, you do faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren, that is, these brethren who were going from ecclesia to ecclesia, and to strangers, which have borne witness of your love before the ecclesia, whom if you will bring forward on their journey, he means help along on their journey, give them commodities, give them money, give them support, with a goodly sort, godly sort, you do well. Now he was talking to this Gaius, who was the man receiving this letter. He says, if you will send on the brethren I'm sending out, you do well. Because that for his name's sake, that is Christ's name, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Most interesting. They took nothing of the Gentiles. Now some translations say that that means taking nothing of the pagans, meaning, well, of course they would take nothing from the ones way on the outside. They misinterpret what that means. It means clearly, well, because first of all, pagans wouldn't be supporting the Christian missionaries anyway, would they? Of course not. It says here that these brethren who are going from ecclesia to ecclesia took no support, no commodities, no monies, nothing like that, from the Gentiles where they went. Now, why did they? Not. Because they were going to Jewish communities and aiding Jewish communities. Now, I know that if anyone came up to John, who was a Gentile, and asked him any teaching, he would tell them the truth as best as possible. But you know something? His ministry was to the Jews. And he took monies and support from the Jews. He stayed within the boundaries that he knew God had given him to do. It was only after the revelation of the great mystery in 63 A.D. that now Israel became irrelevant as far as taking the message to them and the new covenant and all of that was to go to Israel. Now, you have to read my biblical manual where I show a step-by-step progress and how the development of doctrine took place in the Christian ecclesia. By the end of the first century, when he wrote his gospel, now we find that John is calling even the Jewish holy days and Sabbaths and laws the Jewish laws and Jewish things. He had a very definite change in administration that took place with the revelation of the mystery in 63 A.D. But in the period before that, we find that even John, when he sent representatives of his in the area where the Apostle Paul had his region of administration, and it was perfectly proper for John to go there because there were Jews in the area, he actually tells them not to take monies from the Gentile Christians because he wasn't sent to them at the time. That was the Apostle Paul's jurisdiction. Paul must have always honored John for that because he had no problem with John. He had problems with others, though, and I want to tell you how he had problems with others. Because in Galatians here, he is showing the Galatians and Central Asia Minor that he did not get his commission from the Jewish apostles, Jerusalem apostles, I should say. His ministry was entirely separate from that which was to go to the Jews at the time. And he made that quite clear right here in the first two chapters of the book of Galatians. Well, there were problems, however, that came up not only in Central Asia Minor here with the Galatians, but also with the Corinthians over in Greece. Now, Corinth is about 100 miles east, or west, I should say, of Athens. And he spent some 18 months there at one time, raised up the ecclesia, then he left. And sometime later, about 55 A.D., he had to write 1 Corinthians to them. And about 3 months later, he had to write 2 Corinthians. And they had some problems in that ecclesia. And one of the main problems was that here was the Apostle Paul in charge of teaching the gospel to the Gentiles in Corinth. It was his commission to go to the Gentiles. Now, he would have said, taking nothing from the Jews, you know, if he was the one writing like John was doing back there. John says, taking nothing from the Gentiles. But I'm afraid that the Apostle Paul's commission was to go to these Gentiles. They were his responsibility, and it had nothing to do with the commission given to the pillar apostles or the other 12, other of the 12 in Jerusalem who were to go to the Jews. And he had some problems because if we'll go to 2 Corinthians here now in chapter 10, here is what the Apostle Paul says. I will quote this in the King James Version, but you really need a newer version to be able to understand it. The Revised Standard Version is very clear on this matter, because in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about an area of the world which had been consigned to him as a responsibility by Christ himself to teach the gospel to Gentiles in that area, not to Jews. Now, he would teach Jews, that is, give them basic teaching, but they were not his responsibility. They were the responsibility of the apostles in Jerusalem. But Paul had his own area of the world in which he worked. And we know from experience it was all of Asia Minor. It was all of Greece, including northern Greece, Macedonia. It was the area of Dalmatia that we know of today as Bosnia-Herzegovina and Serbia, Croatia. That area there was his as well. All of Italy was his, including the city of Rome, obviously, in the middle of Italy. And then we know he had as his responsibility Spain. Now, that northern region there, and it no doubt would have included southern Gaul, and since we have evidence that Britain was in contact with him at one time, representatives from Britain, then no doubt Britain as well came into the Apostle Paul's domain. But he was to go to the Gentiles, you must remember, not to Jews, Gentiles. Now, here is what he says concerning that geographical region, which was consigned to him by God. And the reason he has to bring this up is because people from Jerusalem, mind you, and even from the apostles in Jerusalem, not the apostles themselves, but people representing the apostles, were coming into Paul's area, and not only were they doing like John, in fact, they were doing just the opposite from John. John's representatives took nothing from the Gentiles. There it is in 3 John, you know, I think it's verse 7. But these people, they were taking things from the Gentiles. In fact, what they were doing, they were encroaching on Paul's responsibility, and this time they were not only teaching Jews, they were now trying to tell the Gentiles that they had to act like Jews. And Paul got upset with them. They were coming into his territory, and the agreement had been made down in Jerusalem already that Paul and Barnabas had that area for Gentiles, and not these men coming from Jerusalem or anyone from Jerusalem. So he says here in 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." He's beginning to talk about people who were saying, we are really something because we're coming from headquarters. We're coming from, and I'll tell you the area they were coming from, Jerusalem. And not only that, they were coming from the chief apostles down there. And they had letters from the chief apostles. But they were misusing their authority. And Paul was going to show that they were doing this, and they should not do it. Verse 13, "But we," says Paul, "will not boast of things without our measure, without our limits. We will not go beyond the limits of authority given to us." And in this case, he means the jurisdiction geographically and also of the Gentiles, which they were. He was talking about, we are the apostles to the Gentiles, I am, and we have this area and it's given to us. It says, "We will not boast of things outside or without our measure or our limits, but according to the measure or limits of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." Now, you Corinthians, to whom he was writing here, Paul had that measure and the others, and he was coming to them. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure," that is our limits, "as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as unto you, also preaching the gospel of Christ." In other words, you are our responsibility. But people were coming from Jerusalem outside of their authority and coming into Paul's area and actually teaching the Gentiles there when they should not have been doing it. "Not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly," the rule given to us. It means that we are your apostles, not them. "The rule is to preach the gospel in the regions even beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line or another man's rule of things made ready in our hand. But he that glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Would to God you bear with me in a little folly? Indeed, bear with me." Now he's going to go into something. Because he's saying, "I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, because you are my responsibility," he's saying. "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And I fear lest by any means, as the serpent," that is the devil, "beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes to you preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. For though I be rude in speech, I am not in knowledge." Now, he is talking about the very chiefest apostles here. He has to show in this 11th and 12th chapters here, if you'll read it very carefully, that these men were coming from Jerusalem. They were coming with letters from the chief apostles, from James, Peter, and John, but they were misusing their authority. They were going outside of the authority that even James, Peter, and John had given to them. And they were calling themselves representing the apostles in Jerusalem. Do you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, it speaks about having letters of commendation that they would take from church or ecclesia to ecclesia. These men coming from Jerusalem had the authority of the chief apostles in Jerusalem. But once they got to Corinth, they began teaching outside the boundaries that were given to them by those apostles and had been agreed to by the Apostle Paul and the others. And Paul was saying that I am not responsible to those men down there in Jerusalem. But these men who are coming from those apostles there, look at the context here. He says they are false apostles, that is, representing the apostles in a wrong way. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, or representatives of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. These men had letters from the chief apostles in Jerusalem. But once they got to Corinth, they started to teach in Paul's area of jurisdiction. Paul said, I never step out of my bounds. We know that John didn't step out of his bounds. Here, these men with letters from the chief apostles were stepping out of their bounds. And Paul was saying they were representatives of Satan the devil by doing that. Now, that's getting pretty close, you know, to some people would say almost blasphemy if there was a top-down authority. They didn't have a top-down authority. Remember this. We find the scriptures showing the independent ecclesias. No one had to report to Jerusalem from the Gentile areas at all. We find local ecclesias is what were necessary. And when we find people coming from a central headquarters trying to impose their doctrines upon these local assemblies, Paul stood up for the truth. You know what we should do? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And we don't have to have men to tell us what to do. We don't have to have church authority to tell us what to do. We need scriptural authority. And that scripture is here with us today. Let's refer to it, and we're all going to come out the winners in the end. This concludes the B section of the lecture, The Cure for Church Authority.